He is a good, good Father. And that's something we should dwell on this morning. Think of that. He's a good, good Father. That's who He is. And who are you? You are loved by Him. That's who you are. That's who you are. So if we dwell on those things, then we have a platform that we can walk on and know who we are, whose we are, and how we are to conduct ourselves in this tedious journey called life. But He is a good, good Father, and He's calling you deeper and deeper into love for Him. That's His mandate for us. So today is Father's Day. So happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
And as you all know, there are many uses for the term father. You know, the father at the Catholic Church, the city fathers, father time, all of those things. And each one of those have its own definition. So we'll cut through the chase and just talk about the father who begets another, meaning a parental father. So we're going to talk about the parental father today. And today you'll probably hear me say more about myself than I've said about me from this platform in the last 25, 26 years, how long I've been doing this. I don't talk about me on this platform because I'm not in here. I didn't write none of that, and they don't talk about me in that. So I leave me out. But today we're talking about fathers, and I am one. I have three sons and a daughter. If you missed it, she was here just last week. She was here. And her and her mom, they had to get together probably to finalize some plot against me. That's what they said. They always tell me stuff after it's passed. You know what happened last week? I didn't want to bother you, but I'll tell you now. But whatever it was, you got to pay for it. Anyway, I don't want to belabor that, but I just want to talk today about fathers and how important that role is for the men who occupy it. Now, fathers are a specialty because, as I stated earlier, fathers and mothers, everybody has one. And for those who don't think they have one, we do have a Heavenly Father. A Heavenly Father who is always there for us. So I came into fatherhood in a strange way. Well, I won't say this. Well, it was a strange way because it was my middle son who taught me the basic principles of fatherhood. You know, I was a dad because with my oldest son, we palled around taking places and get in the car and get over in the middle of the seat where the two front seats come together, that little van in there. He'd get it in there and put his arms up on the seat like that, and that's the way he rode. We'd ride around, go places. No car seats. They probably had car seats on Rodeo Road somewhere in Beverly Hills, but we were in National City in San Diego, so we didn't have car seats. So we'd ride around, not taking places. And you know, dads are great, but there is a definite distinct difference between a dad and a father. So dads are great, and men like to ride around, and dads like to stick their chests out when people say things about their son. So I took my son to one of my friend's house one day, and my wife had dressed him up in a little sailor suit, and he was walking around there. He couldn't talk, but you know, he's walking around there. And my friend told his wife, he says, you know, if you can't give me a son like Jones's son, then I don't want no children. So, you know, that builds you up, makes you really feel good, look good. So I carried that with me for a long time. But back to my middle son, who taught me fatherhood. By the time he came along, I had been married for a while. So I had gotten a little wild and had begun to do things, you know, have fun. So that's what we call it,
fun, hang out, do something. So one night, it was late. When I say late, I don't mean 8:30 or 9, that late. I mean late, late, 2:30, 3, maybe somewhere in that area. I was someplace that having fun, doing what guys do on a payday night. And I was there, and these are people that I never took home to my house, or that we didn't associate with those people. So my wife didn't know anything about them, so I thought. But during that time in this place, I was summoned to the phone. Now, you had 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, somebody say the phone's for me. I'm trying to figure out what is going on, because nobody don't know I'm here. You know, this is. But anyway, I took the phone, and I don't want to say what all was said, because I don't even remember. But the conversation that I remember was my wife was talking to me, and she said, "Do you hear that baby crying in the bed? Do you hear this baby crying?" And I said, "Yeah, I hear the baby crying." And apparently she gave the baby the phone. Well, you know, put it up to his mouth, because he's 2 months old, maybe. Younger, I'm not sure. And he was crying. He was not just crying. I mean, he was bellowing off. He was crying profusely. I mean, really crying, really hard. And she told me, she said, I guess I must ask her, you know, what was wrong with himself. And she told me that there's nothing wrong with the baby. The baby is home. He hasn't eaten since whatever time that he had had his formula. Now, I never told this story before, but barely. She told me that he hadn't eaten since the last time she had given him his formula. And there I stood, and I don't know what happened to me, but it hurt me so. I mean, it just did something to me. And I left that place. I don't remember what I said to anybody, or I'm gone or left, but I do know that I had to pass by a all-night supermarket on Crenshaw. It was a supermarket that stayed open all night. And I didn't have enough money to pay, but I did have a checkbook in the car. And at that time, if you had a check with your name and address on it and a driver's license that matched that, you could write checks in the grocery stores and places. So that's what I did. I wrote a hot check. I knew that I didn't have any money, because I was doing what I was doing, partying and fun. I didn't go to the bank. I went out. And I wrote that check. Got a case of formula and whatever else I thought I needed for a baby. And I took it home and gave it to the baby. Yeah. I told my wife and gave it to the baby. And from that day to this day, there's never not been any food in my house. That taught me something. That was something that I never wanted to experience again. But that wasn't the whole of the matter, because I got through that. And again, I wrote that hot check and to clear that up. The check, at that time, I guess they waited till they got enough money before they made a deposit. Then the bank would see if the check was any good. If it was not good, they'd send it back to the store that it was written on, and that's where you would have to go to pick it up, because they would notify you, you know, that the check wasn't no good. And you go to the grocery store, and you give them the cash, they give you the check back. But if they do that twice, then I think they would turn it over to the authorities. But I learned that procedure at that time. So needless to say, I've done it a couple other times. You know, because now I know I got a week and a half before anything happens to me. But I didn't learn from that experience, even though it hurt me to the point that I weep when I thought of that, hearing my son crying the way he was crying. I would weep when I thought of that. It broke my heart. I always kept food in the house, but I didn't stop my activity. The point that I wanted to stress. I did not stop my activity to the point to where I got fired from my job. Not because I wasn't doing the work or anything. I was a great worker, but I was late. Partying at night and getting up early going to work in the morning, they don't work out, especially if you do it over a period of time. So I was chronically late. I mean, and I couldn't say anything about the company because they gave me plenty of opportunities to clean myself up. They told me several times, John, you got to get to work on time. You got to get to work on time. But I was late every day. And I don't mean, you know, sometimes 5 minutes, sometimes 10 minutes, sometimes an hour and a half, sometimes just, I just showed up. And they fired me. But on my way out of the company with my little stuff, a supervisor from a department that supplied us with stuff to test, he asked me, he said, you want to come back to work here? I want you to come to work for me. So give me some time to pull a few strings, touch a few bases, and I'll bring you back to work for me in a different department. I said, sure, I want to come back. He said, well, in the meantime, I got a friend who has the same company, aerospace. He said, I'll give him a call. He'll give you a job, temporary. And then once I get things over here, then you come back. So we did that. That wasn't all. I didn't stop after that. I kept partying. And my house went into foreclosure. And the gentleman who sold me the house, the real estate broker who sold me the house, was a good friend of my uncle's, and they had this business going to work. They would buy old houses and fix them up, and I'm pretty sure that's how I got mine. My uncle told him I was looking for a house, so he contacted me and we bought my house. But anyway, he contacted me when my house was in the foreclosure, and he told me, he said, don't let this house go into complete foreclosure to where they take it away from you, because it can do, it'll be years before you can get another. But I didn't have no money to pay the people, so he said, just sell it. Sell the house, and I won't put it on the market, I'll sell it. But I'm sure what he did was he probably bought it himself. That's what I believed, because I thought they were crooks. Even though I appreciate what he done, and I had been involved in some of that with them at one time, because they had bought so many houses, they couldn't buy anymore because their name was on too many properties. So my uncle came and got me and said, hey, look, we'll give you a few $100, you sign ownership for this property, and then, you know, once we sell it, then we'll take it out of your name and so forth. So to me, sitting down at my kitchen table, signing my name and getting a few $100, that was good stuff. So I did that a long time ago. So this is how I know he knew that I was in trouble because of that. So anyway, I sold the house. Then he told me, he said, that you were in the Navy, right? You were a veteran. So just go get you another one now on the VA. I'll find you one. And he did, and he found me a house. Now, I say all of this to say the father thing. I grew up in a single family house, and I didn't have a father. I didn't have no guidance. I didn't have the know-how to navigate through problems and things like that. I was just a guy. But anyway, once he gave me that, we do have a heavenly father. We do have a heavenly father, because there's no way that you can come through situations like that on your own. But at the time, I didn't know that, and I didn't even recognize it. But if we stop and review what I just told you, I put myself in a position to lose my family. Because some women would have said, you know, if you ain't going to treat the kids right, and you just keep going, bro. I'll get on the welfare, and they'll pay the rent and buy an apartment. But my wife didn't leave me. She stayed with me. So I didn't lose my family. The job, the company that fired me, I went back to work for that company at a higher salary. My house went into foreclosure, and I sold it and got another house. Sold a 5-room house, 2 bedrooms, living room, dining room, kitchen. Replaced it with
five-bedroom house. We had five bedrooms, the four of us. So my two sons had a room apiece, and me, we had a room, and my wife made a work room out of one of them, and I made a den out of the way. Five bedrooms, corner house, a kitchen nook, something I didn't even know what a nook was, a kitchen nook, a breakfast nook is what they call it. Breakfast nook in the corner over there where you could go sit in the breakfast and sip your tea and look out the window at the cars and stuff. Just beautiful house on the corner lot. I'm pointing out that without God, without my Heavenly Father taking care of me, putting me in the right places, who knows where I would be today? So we have a Heavenly Father, even though sometimes we don't have a father in our home, and we say, well, you know, I don't have a father. You have a father. And all of this, I pointed out to you, is to let you know that what I learned from that, is what Jeremiah teaches in Jeremiah 31, verse 9. In Jeremiah 31, it says, they shall come with weeping and with supplication will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble, for I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Now that is what he's trying to tell us, what a father's role is. A father's role of provision. And without that model, then we wouldn't know how to be fathers. He is saying here that I will lead them. I will lead them. I will guide them. I will take them out of harm's way by guiding them and protecting them. Then he says, I will provide for them by making sure that all of their needs are met and that they shall not want. I will be an example for them so that they can see with their eyes what they hear with their ears, and they won't worry or be afraid. These are the things that God set down so that we would have an example to go by to know how to be fathers, even though some men, though those standards are still too high for them. They're too high for them. But not to worry, because we have that Heavenly Father that I just talked about, who steered me back on the path and put me in a position to where I could recover and do what I needed to do as a father. So we have that Heavenly Father. And He will never leave us. He is a Father who will stick with us at all times. That Heavenly Father. He will always stand in the gap for you. He'll stand in the gap, as the Bible says in Malachi 2:10. He says that He is all of our fathers. He is all of our fathers. One God created all of us. And He will never leave nor forsake us. He will never abandon us. He will always be there for us. No matter how far we go or who we are, He will be with us. He will be with us. Never leave us, nor forsake us. And that's what we can stand on, that He is our Father and we're never fatherless. In John 14:18, He says that I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you orphans. The King James Version says, I will not leave you comfortless, meaning you will never ever be fatherless, because our Heavenly Father will always be there for you. No matter how far you roam or how many times you turn your back and walk away from Him, He will always be there. And when you decide or come to your senses and turn from your foolishness and start back to Him, He will run to meet you and fall on your neck and kiss you. Welcome back, my child. That is our Father. That is our Father. And that is the Father that gives us the demonstration of how we should give our life as earthly fathers. Because when your earthly father bails, you think you're all alone. You got nobody, you got nothing. But you have to keep moving forward. You have to keep moving forward. That is the purpose, to keep moving, knowing that you have that heavenly father. He says in his word again, beloved, you are the sons of God and heirs. So you have the right, are you listening to me? You have the right to be delivered from all the powers of the enemy.
Amen.
That's your right as a son of God. That is who we are. And that is how we are to conduct ourselves. And when we know who we are and we know whose we are, then we can walk stronger and then we can be what he wants us to be. And what he wants us to be is examples of what he is, to emulate him in our earthly walk, so that our sons will know that they have a father and they never have to worry about fear or doubt. Where am I? Whose am I? Because when they get in trouble, it doesn't make any difference how old they are. Dad's going to show up if they need help. Dad's going to show up. He may not show up the fifth or sixth time, but he's going to show up and give them a shot. They have to have the desire to step out on their own and to follow Dad's lead. But we have to be able to give them that example, give them that lead, show them who they are by being who we are supposed to be. That is our fatherly responsibility. So dads and ladies, you are never fatherless just because your earthly father bailed. He just made the way for your heavenly father to step in. When I am weak, that's when I am strong. So when you are without your earthly father, that's when you got a super father. So stick with Jesus and know again whose you are and who you are. And when you do that, you will be a good example for your sons. But they need the male figure. Now my mom was the best dad I know. The best dad I know. Because that's all I knew. But she took care of everything. Never once did she tell me, you better wait till your dad comes home. When your dad comes home, No, she took care of the business wherever we were, whenever the crime was around, I paid the price right there. That was it. Discipline. You have to do the right thing. You have to take care of the house. You are the man of the house. You. That was the way I came through. But I didn't get it because I didn't have that male figure to guide me, to show me what a man was supposed to do. So my mom was, again, the best dad I knew. But I got it through my heavenly father. Once I got old and went astray, he brought me back in line and put me where fathers are supposed to be. But I was good at having children. I had four of them rascals. I'm good at that, but the dad part, that is the part that matters. And that is the part that we have to pass on so that our legacy will live, that our prodigy will remain. So find Christ in your life. And today, being Father's Day, go out and celebrate Father's Day and give honor and love to earthly and heavenly fathers. To both. Give praise, honor, and love for Father's Day. And we have to thank God that he sets these days aside so that we can stop and reflect and just focus on that one person today. That one person who is an important part of our life. Part of our function. The dad. The head of the house. The man who makes everything right. He has all the answers. He's the provider. He's the guy. So dads, show yourself strong today. And let's celebrate our dads. I have to give thanks to my heavenly father. My earthly father is passed on now. I did the best I could to make up for the time that we lost, but you can never do that. Time lost is gone. But you can forgive, and you can move on and be better than so that you don't have the same problem he had. That is, leaving your children without a dad. So, honor your fathers today. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that you again set aside these days to honor those special people in our lives, Father. To give us an opportunity to focus on you and your provisions, to focus on you and your strength, to focus on you and your love for us, Father. You gave up everything for us and came to earth to give us life that we might have it more abundant. So, Father, help us to know who you are and to know who we are so that we can, Father, shine light on ourselves and on our fathers and on all of the goodness that you have done for us. We ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, to guide us today into the places where we need to be. Help us to share the love of a father with someone today, or to share the love of a son to some father today. Help us to be all that we can be. But help us, Father,
yes, Lord,
to know you and to be who you want us to be. We give you praise, glory, and honor for all that you are. In the matchless name of Jesus, we just thank you again. Amen.